coming to you live from a remote beachfront studio on the shores of the Pacific in the People's Republic of California. It's Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes, with Bill's esteemed special guest Ed Winchester. So please welcome them for the next hour. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Carnes, Ed Winchester, and 2A Radio.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. Again, Ed, it said esteemed. I was thinking maybe it should have said pickled.
Stop talking about last night.
You know, folks, we went out last night. Ed and I, my girlfriend, his wife, went out and met a couple of other couples. And one of the other couples I hadn't met before, a fellow by the name of Bill, who's a retired Coast Guard captain, and his lovely wife, Pam. And Pam asked, you know, so what do you do? So, of course, I mentioned the radio show. I have no problem sharing my opinion with anybody. They don't have to like it, but if they ask, they're going to hear it. As it turns out, Pam was a lovely person to talk to. She exemplified average America that does not exercise their Second Amendment right, which is fine. I've said many times, if somebody decides, if they elect to exercise their Second Amendment right, that's great, but I believe they should also exercise some personal responsibility and accountability. What kind of gun they buy, train with it, learn to use it, make sure that it's safe if they have kids in the house, other people in their house, whatever it might be. Pam, on the other hand, she says, well, we have a gun. I know nothing about it. Bill knows how to use it. Bill confirmed, you know, yeah, he's a captain in the U.S. Coast Guard. Of course he learned how to use it. But Pam was saying, well, you know, I don't understand why people have to have these magazines that hold 30 rounds, and I forget the terminology she used, but it wasn't magazines that hold 30 rounds. It was, you know, it was the anti-gun mainstream media verbiage. You heard her, didn't you?
Actually, she started with, why does everybody want to have a machine gun? And of course, I would say, unless you fired one, you really can't understand why it'd be fun to own a machine gun.
Yeah, she did. She said, I don't understand why people need those guns. It'd go, okay, so fully automatic gun. I told her, I said, first of all, we're in California, and in California, you cannot own one of those, period. Several states you can. It costs a lot of money to buy one. It takes federal paperwork and more money and lots of background checks and several months before you can get approved to own one of those. So, oh, I thought everybody could own one of those. Okay, well, there you go.
Only in a couple of really great states like Arizona and Nevada, Florida.
And Alaska. Well, yeah, absolutely. In Utah. So from there, we go into magazine capacity. Well, why do you need to have a gun that holds 30 rounds? And I said, well, why should you be forced to be limited to a gun that you have to consistently reload? I said, I flat guarantee if you have a gun that that'll normally carry 18 rounds and you limit me to, say, a six-round magazine, I can flat out shoot a person who's on the average end of training with 18 rounds in one magazine with me having three six-round magazines. And I said, Ed is absolutely up to the same par. So all you're really doing is nothing. It's
But see, you have to remember, Bill, that some of what she believes is dictated by what she's seen in the press with you shoot one person one time, they fall over dead, and everything's fine.
Exactly my point. And when we return from the break, we're going to talk about the question and answer session when it came down when I asked her how many times you need to shoot a bad guy before they stop. So more on this story after you return from the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, with Ed Winchester on 2A Radio.
Coming to you live from the warm shores of the Communist Pacific Palisades, please excuse their conduct, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes and his guest, Ed Winchester. Join them at 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back. Okay, we are we're back on the story. Talking with this very nice lady by the name of Pam last night over dinner. And to recap just a bit, she, first of all, was under the impression that anybody could go in and buy a machine gun and take it home. We dispelled that myth, let her know exactly the way the deal was. And then she was saying, you know, I don't know why people need to have a gun that'll hold 30 bullets. And so I asked her, I said, Pam, how many times does a bad guy need to get shot before he's done? And we weren't getting a direct answer. It was kind of turning it into another conversation. I said, oh, let's back it back up. So it got down to the fourth time, and I said, I'm just looking for a number. That's all I'm looking for. How many times? So she thought about it. She looked over at another fellow at the table that was sitting there. I said, who was it she was sitting next to? I was so focused on the conversation with Pam. She's sitting next to
Mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Mark's just kind of, you know, raised his shoulders a little bit. She goes, two. It takes two rounds. I said, okay. Let me tell you a little story. I said, Pam, there was a guy back in the Midwest back in the early 1990s that took nine rounds from a 9mm and two blasts from a double-odd buck laden 12-gauge shotgun. Now, those are 32-round holes. Now, to add all the number of holes up, there's between 57 and 59 holes, depending on whether it was eight rounds of double-odd buck or nine rounds of double-odd buck. I'm sorry, pellets per round. So it took 58 average number of rounds to put this guy down. So I got to ask you now, how many rounds does it take to put somebody down? I said, if this guy was holding a 30-round gun, a magazine and a gun that had 30 rounds in it, he would have had to go through two of those and reload into a third before this guy was done, because you don't carry exactly 30 rounds in a 30-round magazine. You got usually carry maybe between 26 and 28. So she was incredibly surprised. She didn't quite understand it. And I said, imagine this. Somebody busts into this restaurant that we're in, and they're going to do a little bit of a takeover. It's a nice place. People probably bring some money here, probably got some decent jewelry that they're wearing. And is he going to do it by himself, or is he probably going to bring some other friends? You never really know. It might be one guy. It might be four guys. It might be six guys. They might come in and start shooting people just to get your attention. They might just come in and start yelling things when they've got baseball bats and knives. You never know what to expect. So once you decide, my God, my life or this person's life or that person's life is in jeopardy, imminent jeopardy right now of death or serious bodily injury, how many rounds is it going to take to stop this guy? And then she didn't exactly have an answer, wasn't sure anymore. And I told her, you'd never know how many rounds it's going to take to actually put somebody down until you're in the actual process of shooting them and they stop.
Well, that doesn't work on like it does on TV, Bill. It's not like you shoot them once or like a video game where people shoot the adversary once and then move on to the next adversary.
It ain't so. So, again, it's one of those deals. You never know until you're actually shooting them. And my theory, Ed, is X plus one. X is the unknown number of rounds it takes to stop them, plus one.
So was it the big shootout with the FBI in 86, Platt and Maddox? One of them, didn't he take a round that got to the aorta? He's in the process of bleeding out. It's a fatal shot. And as one of our friends called it, the only thing that could stop him was a contact round when he was trying to steal a G-sled.
That's right. That's right. One of the great when he was trying to jack a G-sled. Right. Yeah, Platt and Maddox back in April of 86. Bad guys that have been shooting up banks and armored car jobs. There's a couple of different movies that have been made about it. And, yeah, as a matter of fact, it was oftentimes a misnomer that a shotgun blast took him down. But, no, it was a severely wounded FBI agent that actually put three rounds into each one of them. Which finally ended it. But, yeah, he was getting out of the car, took one in the aorta, went in, collapsed a lung, stopped just short of stopped just short of the aorta, went through the arm, severed the brachial artery into the thoracic cavity, collapsing the lung, stopped just short of the aorta, and all the arterial blood squirtings where they tracked him's movement through the crime scene. And if if he had soaked that round up in the center of an emergency room with a trauma team waiting, he would not have survived.
It certainly limited chances of survival. But still, he continued to fight. I mean,
yes, he did.
And that was right at the beginning of the gunfight, and it just went south from there for the FBI. I mean, law enforcement in general learned so much about really bad tactics from that fight. But never know when Mr. Murphy's going to stand up and say, "You were ill prepared, and I'm here to give you a teachable moment."
Yeah, I'm going to invoke my laws. Interesting thing is, I met a guy when I was training who was a student of mine, and I spoke something about this exact case in the when we were talking about failure to stop, and where some people say, "Well, let's just get more and more and more rounds to the chest." Well, if they're on drugs, if they're on adrenaline, if they're wearing body armor, that those more rounds to the chest aren't going to do it. You're wasting your time. So you go for a shot into the brain box, which is essentially shoot them in the center of the face, right? Ear level all the way around the head. That's what you're talking about. Later, this guy came to me and says, "You know, I have a copy of the actual FBI training video that they produced from the Platinum Maddox shooting." Bring it on. So he actually mailed it to me. And I took it to a buddy of mine, and he transferred it onto a DVD. So I have the actual DVD version of the training video that the FBI actually put together on it. And it's pretty interesting, and it shores up several myths, because in the movies, the gunfights are not entirely accurate. However, they recreated the entire thing. Right. And it's amazing. What's the average gunfight last, how time-wise?
Seconds, really.
Yeah, 3, 4, 5 seconds,
right.
Something like that.
That
this fight
far gone.
This fight was 2.5, 3 minutes. 2.5 or 3 minutes. Unreal. All right, so anyhow, we cleared up a few things in Pam's mind about guns last night, which was nice. She's a very nice lady and articulated quite well. However, up to that point, up until last night, Pam's entire knowledge on guns and firearms and the people that own them came from a television. Absolutely everything, which is not uncommon here in
and
California.
She's an intelligent person, so there's lots of people who probably, you know, think even less. I mean, it's just amazing how much that that box can shape our thoughts and opinions. Especially, I mean, Pam's a very intelligent person. She didn't get where she is by being stupid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I took her to be quite intelligent. It's just one of those things you don't know about. You know, if I don't know how to rebuild a throttle body fuel injection, you know, I know I don't know how to rebuild a throttle body fuel injection. However, I'm not going to be anti-rebuilding of throttle body fuel injection because somebody on TV always talks bad about it. I'm going to want to learn about it, which is really one of those things. Yeah, guns elicit more passion from ignorant stances over and above anything else I can possibly come up with. Now, if somebody knows of anything else that has such anti-prejudice towards it, coming from stances of absolute pure ignorance, let me know. But I believe guns absolutely tops the list, not just the top of the list, but probably the top 9, because it's so wide over whatever might be number 2. So there you go. Then again, you know, I'm not I've never done any kind of drugs, and I'm not a real big favor of, you know, shoot heroin and smoke and crack. But in that stance, I'm not so sure that I need to go shoot heroin or smoke crack so I can stand from a position of I'm not a big fan of drugs. don't look for me coming from anything other than the position that I'm in. I'm not going to go doing that. All right, guys, we're going to open up a little story here. Air, did you see this? You remember the guy last week in New Hampshire that was carrying a gun in a thigh rig along the approach route of an Obama healthcare speech?
I didn't see all the details on this. What happened there?
Well, this guy was carrying a handgun, and they're saying it was a 9mm, whatever it was. It was deep inside of a thigh rig, so you really don't know what it was. It was a loaded handgun. And he's standing along the parade route, and he's got a handgun in his thigh rig. Now, a couple days ago in Phoenix, Obama was right. going to go do his town hall meeting. And a couple different people in the crowd along this route actually had slung loaded AR-15s on their backs.
It's good to be in Arizona.
It is. It's good to be an American in Arizona. And then several other people were carrying handguns. So the crowd was laden with people carrying handguns, plus two guys with AR-15s loaded, magazines in, you know, chambers down, dust covers closed. The one guy I saw, he was a black guy, and he actually had a what looked to be like a halocyte, like a quick access halocyte that was mounted on the top. Collapsible buttstock ergo grip. I don't know. Maybe the guy actually listened to the Ronin AR-15 show a couple months back. And I mean, his gear was set up. So, you know, we have people lining the streets. And of course, the people on CNN and all the anti-gunners in the major news media are slamming this. Oh, these military style assault weapons. And what is their motivation for doing it? You know what? The motivation is this, in my mind. It's because I can. It's because I am exercising my constitutional right. And as Judge Anthony Napolitano said so eloquently, the dirty little secret about the Second Amendment that they don't teach you in your schools is the Second Amendment gives you the right to shoot at your government when they become tyrannical. And this is simply a reminder of that unalienable right. All right, Ed, we're heading into break. We've got more to come after we get back. So stay tuned. This is Bill Carnes with Ed Winchester on 2A Radio. Rock and roll and drift away.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back your hosts, Bill Carnes with Ed Winchester and 2A Radio.
Here it is, a groove slightly transformed. Just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a
little. You know, as I sit here, Ed, we're looking out these big picture windows, looking at the big, beautiful blue Pacific Ocean, and your wife's outside throwing those little floppy frisbees for the dog. It's all right here, man.
Life is good.
It is all right. We are down on the beach taking a walk. What, just, 11:30 last night or something?
It was all about midnight.
Yeah. Throwing the frisbee for the dog, looking for grunions. It was a good time. Good time for us. As a matter of fact, I see a fishing trawl. Looks like a squid boat coming out from the south right now. And anyhow, just a beautiful spot. But guys, I'm going to read you a little bit of something about this this one fellow in particular, who had an AR-15 in this crowd in Phoenix. It says, gun rights advocates say they're exercising their constitutional right to bear arms in protest, while those who argue for more gun control say it could be a disaster waiting to happen. Phoenix police said that the gun toters at Monday's event, including the man carrying the AR-15 semi-automatic rifle slung over his shoulder, didn't need permits. No crimes were committed, and no one was arrested. The man with the rifle declined to be identified, but told the Arizona Republic that he was carrying the assault weapon because he could. He said, in Arizona, I still have some freedoms. Phoenix Police Detective Jay Oliver, who monitored the man at the downtown protest, said police also wanted to make sure no one decided to harm him. Something tells me the fellow with the loaded AR-15 was not going to be the one in the crowd to be harmed by anyone else. I'm not sure what it is. Call it intuition. Some tell me this is the safest guy in the crowd. Unless, of course, we had the snipers on patrol having him lit, which I'm sure they did. Something tells me that guy was in the scope, the reticle of some loopholed Mark IV.
Yes.
He said, Detective Oliver said, just by his presence and people seeing the rifle and people knowing the president wasn't, it sparked a lot of emotion. We're keeping peace on both sides. You know, you can't really beat that. You can't.
Well, you know, most people carry a gun because a cop is too heavy to carry, but luckily he had his own personal cop for the day.
That's right, he did. As a matter of fact, a very nice 5.56 caliber cop. So there you go. Authorities in Montana said that they received no reports of anyone carrying any firearms during Obama's healthcare town hall speech near Bozeman on Friday, this last week. But about 1,000 people, both for and against Obama, converged at a protest area near the Gatlin Field Airport. I like that, the Gatlin, instead of Gatlia. Gatlin Field Airport hangar, where the event took place. One person was accused of disorderly conduct and was detained and released, according to the Gatlin Airport Authority. Now, that's in Montana, where a lot of people carry guns, and it's kind of funny to have Obama go into Montana. Wow, that's like going into the belly of the beast. That is not his core area of support.
Yeah, pretty much if he's outside of the confines of the inner city, he is outside of people who know and like him.
Yeah, imagine. My God. By the way, folks, just a little bit of an update. Yesterday, there was a bit of a mishap with the Skype technology that we're using. You know, normally 2A radio's on ISDN. This week, we're on Skype. And we lost signal for just shy of 2 minutes. Luckily, however, the computer that I broadcast over records everything. So if you go to 2aradio.com and click on the archives link, you will get the entire show. I was able to rebuild that through some programming technology yesterday. So those missing couple of minutes will actually be there, much different than the Nixon tapes. The missing 2 minutes will actually be there. So how about you guys? If Obama comes to your town, do you know the state law and the ordinances? Can you carry a gun? Will you be out there with sign? I will be if I hear that he's coming to Vegas. And not that I keep up with the traveling habits of de facto President Obama or anybody within his regime. But if I know that it's coming, hell, I'm going to know my rights and I'm going to head down there and see what it's all about. All right, Ed, what is the latest that you happen to see over there on your Fox News? You got anything new coming up, or should I go into the AARP story?
Actually, there's a pretty cute story about and some video attached of Barney Frank screaming at his constituents. He told one lady that he'd rather talk to a table than talk to her. Just typical Barney Frank, looking like a moron. And
he'd rather talk to a table than talk to her.
Yeah.
I'd rather talk to your replacement than talk to you.
Exactly. The guy who sat in charge of the finance committee while the real estate industry was melting down.
Wow, imagine that. Yeah, Barney Frank is a total jackass. Let me just hit this real quick on AARP. AARP has lost some 60,000 members since July 1st,
yes,
due to the group's support for health care reform and supporting the Obama administration.
They're the largest lobby in Washington, D.C. They have the most power to flex. It's pretty much them and the NRA is about being most powerful. Oh, and 60,000 members is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, not at all. Not in any organization. All right, guys. More to come after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, with my special guest, Ed Winchester, Mimosas in Hand on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
If you didn't think you'd had enough already, please welcome back the black sheep of the RBN family and your hosts for 2A Radio, Bill Carnes and Ed Winchester. Call 1-800-313-9443. Guys, hey, guys,
Dopes.
You guys know you're back on the air.
Sorry, Dave. Me and my gang. All right, back on. Ed.
Yes,
hey, here
Bill.
We go. Ed, I looked on my caller page. George, Texas, on line one. George, welcome to 2A Radio.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
Yeah, I usually get to listen to you on the archive. I don't really get be around this morning to usually listen to your show, but I've been trying to, like single mothers, I've been trying to tell them I think it's necessary for them to be armed since there's not a husband there to defend the home. And they come up with the excuse, well, my toddlers will get in and play with the gun. Well, anyway, they had a story in My Fox Houston at an 11-year-old's birthday party. The boyfriend and her girlfriend left the guns unsecured, and the 13-year-old played with the gun and shot the 11-year-old dead. And it just reinforced everything, because here comes anti-gunners coming out of the woodwork telling them that guns shouldn't be allowed in the home and that, you know, all that stuff. And the thing is, this gun accident was pure stupidity. And what would I say to these single mothers about worrying about their kids getting into the gun? It's just pure common sense.
Yeah, George, let me tell you something. I have never seen a single mother who didn't put their children at the absolute top of their list when it came to what they, how they see things in life. The kids are absolutely by far number one. So to relay stories like this and say it only takes a moment of irresponsibility, and that's what it is. I got to tell you, nothing, I guess when it comes to the gun world, nothing disappoints me and makes me feel sore more than someone who is otherwise pro-gun that exercises their Second Amendment rights, but does it in such an irresponsible way that a kid gets a hold of the gun, whether or not they fire around and injure or kill somebody or not, but they've got it in their hand because the parents don't know what to do when it comes to either securing the gun or, better yet, training their kids. Certainly it's something like a party. You put them away because you don't know who's going to be in your house or where they're going to go.
Well, I have a different side of this, Bill. You have those same people that would say, oh, I don't want to let my children go play at so-and-so's house because I know they have guns and I don't want, you know, my little Johnny to get shot. I will gladly let their child go over to another house where they have a swimming pool, and not realizing that the child is 11 times more likely to die in that swimming pool than they are to die at the hands of that person who happens to have a gun at their home.
Well, I got to tell you, the whole thing is sad. George, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, my impression to you, and I got to say, I live just outside of Las Vegas. We had two kids die in just under a week for this very same thing, where they got a hold of a gun. One was in a vehicle, one was in a house, where nobody was paying attention, and the kids hadn't been shown anything about these. We've had several more, actually, as you bring up, die in swimming pools, which for the months of June through September is the leading cause of infant fatality, child fatality, in Clark County, Nevada, where Las Vegas is. But I would tell them, George, look, you've seen the different news stories that come out where kids will get a hold of guns and shoot and kill themselves or someone else with these guns because either they're A, unsecured, and or B, they're untrained. This is exactly why you need to have a – first of all, we know why you need to have a gun. That's a given. But you need to have responsibility beyond just owning the gun and learning how to use it when it comes to accessibility. And you have the four universal firearms training safety rules. And a good friend of mine, a colleague of mine who's a trainer, added a fifth. And they are, first of all, treat all guns as if they're loaded. Second, don't point the muzzle at anything you're not willing to destroy. Third, keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. Fourth, be aware of your target and what's in line with your target. And my colleague told me, came up with number five, which was keep your guns inaccessible to untrained or irresponsible people. So that's more so kind of just a rule of owning and possessing guns, more so than if it's in your hand. And I couldn't agree with it more. I've begun incorporating that into my training. Keep your guns inaccessible to untrained and or irresponsible people. Well, so there you go, George.
Well, like I said, I got two toddlers. And like I say, my weapons are secured away from the hands of the kids. And it's just common sense. It's in a locker that I can access real quick, but they can't tamper with or can't get in reach of.
You used a phrase there, George, that was common sense. Can you define that?
Common sense?
Yeah, yes. Because it seems to be uncommon in today's day and age.
Well, common sense is thinking and using your head and playing out every scenario and hope every scenario is covered.
Yeah, unfortunately, it would seem as though common sense to you, to me, to Ed, to most of the listeners is a given. But unfortunately, in today's society of freebie handouts and everybody telling you what you need to know, do, see, think, and feel, there is no such thing as common sense anymore. It seems as though it's getting to be more and more uncommon. George, I appreciate you taking the time to call, and it's I'm glad that you're able to listen in live today and participate in the show. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay, I want to give a little bit of a kind of a new sway on something that's been going on here. We're all familiar with the Somali pirate attacks on commercial shipping, right, Ed? Well, there were 8 suspects held in an Arctic Sea hijacking. This story is out of Moscow, Russia. Russia's Navy detained 8 men accused of hijacking the Arctic Sea freighter near Sweden and forcing the crew to sail to West Africa, according to state news agencies, who quoted the defense minister as saying just a week ago. I'm sorry.
Bill, the name of the ship is the Arctic Sea. They actually picked them up out of Europe, and it's a ship full of lumber worth about $15 million.
Well, you're right. Actually, I guess the story came out yesterday, not the Tuesday before. It says that I'm not even going to try to pronounce these Russian names. One guy said that another guy said that 15 Russian crew members were safe and had been taken aboard the Russian naval vessel for questioning. On June 30th, Swedish police said the ship's owner had reported that the crew claimed the vessel was boarded by masked men on July 24th near the Swedish inlet of Gotland. And the invaders reportedly had tied up the crew, beat them, claimed they were looking for drugs, and then sped off about 12 hours later in an inflatable raft. A Russian guy with some funky name reportedly said Tuesday. Everybody's name sounds like a brand of vodka there. Surdukov, Krinshmatov, Dmitry Metrev. Sounds like vodka brands to me. One of these vodka drinkers reportedly said Tuesday that the hijackers had boarded the freighter under the pretext that there was a problem with their inflatable craft, and the hijackers, who were armed, then forced the crew to change course and turn off the freighter's navigation equipment and start heading south. So that is ballsy. I mean, you're thousands of miles from the west coast of Africa going after a lumber ship up in European waters. Well,
I don't think they've determined that these particular hijackers were Somali, though.
I don't know what the hell they were, but they were headed down to that area of the country. So what's that tell you? Let's start arming these guys. Now, let's get them trained up. You and I could easily start a company. We know enough about guns and boats. I think that we should be able to put these together. Maybe we should throw in some cigars and mimosas while we're at it. And we could certainly put together some training company to go out there and actually get these just able-bodied mariners out there trained up on tactics.
Well, the ship's captains actually are pretty savvy. They know how to maneuver their ships because a very large ship is going to run over one of those little small boats with alarming monotony as far as they will try to swamp those boats with their wake. They have a lot of tools. What I'm surprised at is we're not seeing more ships with LRADs, which is that sound weapon. You're seeing those more and more on private yachts where the owners realize that it's a pretty good tool because the smaller the ship or boat, the much easier it would be to hijack one. But they're talking about it, but there's a whole lot of international law issues about, you know, certain countries won't let you bring weapons in. But they had the Turkish commandos took down a hijacking boat a few days ago, didn't they? And that was actually in the Gulf of Aden. They were kind of shadowing on the other side of the boat and apparently swooped in and took them down. It was pretty cool. The Turks are definitely not to be messed with.
No, they're not. And I got to tell you, that whole thing with international law about guns here and there, I get your international law right here. If I'm going out...
You don't want to see what he just did.
If I'm going out and I've got my crew And on top of that, I mean, I've got customers to respond to. I've got the ship owner, whoever that happens to be. Okay, hold on a second. We're watching a school of dolphins actually cresting the water out there, feeding. That's pretty cool. All right. If I've got a crew, and I've got an owner, and I've got customers, and I've got their material, and I'm simply the truck driver of the sea, I got some responsibilities. And I'll give to you that the majority of the large ship captains out there know what they're doing. But, you know, to just kind of balance it out, I got two words for you that not all of them know what they're doing. Exxon Valdez.
But, well, do you know what was one of the main causes in the Exxon Valdez?
Yeah, captain that wasn't paying attention and high ground under the water. And
okay, actually, one of the primary causes of the Exxon Valdez turned out to be attributed to sleep deprivation. It wasn't the fact that everybody said, oh, the captain was drunk or this or that. He may have had a drink earlier in the evening, but it was more attributed to sleep deprivation, which is actually more dangerous than someone operating under the influence. But anyways, sorry, folks, a little bit of useless trivia there.
So sleep deprivation, that's the same thing that has caused most of the human error in aircraft accidents. And, Ed, you had a little bit of a sleep deprivation incident about, 5 years ago, didn't you?
Yeah, I fell asleep with the crews set in my car listening to a song by Molly Hatchet. I mean, how do you fall asleep to Flirting with Disaster? But I managed to.
Flirting with Disaster? Seriously? How appropriate. That's like listening to who is the band that went down? Leonard Skinner while on a plane that's headed south.
Well, I mean, of course, you're usually listening to stuff like Pat Boone, so how can I expect you?
Who in the hell is Pat Boone?
Or his daughter, Debbie.
All right.
You light up my life, buddy.
We'll talk about this during the break, bastard. All right. So,
have you seen the joke going around the internet that for so many dollars you can have a Somali cruise where they guarantee you a chance to interact with hijackers if you don't get it on the first pass, they'll keep making each pass successfully slower and slower until they can't resist coming up to the ship. And
my cruise is October 5th. Right. I fly out of Vegas on the 3rd. I head to Florida. On the 4th, we head into where is it? Is it Merced that it's going out of? I forget. So somewhere's out of the Med. And we hop on the ship. Yeah, my cruise leaves October. And I sign up for the extended 10-day cruise.
That should be good.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Go after those small. I got to tell you, I just think mounting the phalanx system fore and aft, port and starboard on these ships should be just fine.
Well, they're just absolutely. I mean, and out of they can reach out and touch you well past RPG range, I believe. So that probably wouldn't be a bad idea. You have to use it on gun low though, because it gets gun high would be using up a lot of ammo.
Driftwood. I remember we had one of the listeners, pardon me for the coughing, guys. I remember we had one of the listeners call up when I hit this subject a couple months ago that said, well, in Somalia, they just have a real problem with getting help internationally. And, what do you expect these people to do? Well, go out and hijack others. They've had some cruise edits for 4 months.
More than that, I believe they're holding 300 people and about 30 ships. They are making quite the industry out of the hijacking.
I'm thinking that the counter industry should be well at hand. You remember the movie Ransom with Mel Gibson, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where he says, not only am I not going to give you the $2 million that you want, I'm going to offer it for your head if I don't get my son back.
Well, better than that, how about a ship captain that gives them the line of Liam Neeson, what I do have is a very particular set of skills.
There you go. So imagine this. Guys like, say, you and I get together with guys like, say, people we may or may not know. And we get a hold of, let's say, people that own ships and are responsible for all this cargo. And we get a little bit of intel out of the region. And we tell them, look, they want $2 million ransom. For 30% of that, we'll get you your crew and your ship back. That sounds like a pretty reasonable insurance policy.
I agree.
And something tells me we could probably get away with that in Somalia. Because of that 30%, probably 25, 30% of that, of our take, we could actually pay off the right people to find out where things are and have safe passage. Hell, we might get a cab ride in.
We're going to actually kind of stick out just a little bit in Somalia, though.
You think?
Probably.
Or maybe we should go outside and lay in the sun a little bit today.
Boy, I think we've eaten too much protein. We're a little bulkier than
not quite skinny enough. All right, guys. Actually, I think later today we're supposed to go to the USS Midway and check that out. Isn't that on schedule?
Yeah, but we're also going. We may end up at a great shooting range because I didn't have you come out just for us to not do some training while you're here.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's a great indoor range here that actually goes out to. 100, I believe.
Really?
It's a big building, yeah.
Pistol.
Pistol, rifle, shotgun. You got it.
100 yards. Pistol. Yeah. All right, guys. More to come after the break. Stay tuned. This is Bill Garnes with Ed Winchester hanging out. 2A Radio. The long-lost friend you ain't seen in a while. Can't help but smile.
This is what happens when you vacation on the beach with friends and are still responsible for a live radio show. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes and his special guest, Ed Winchester. Please excuse their conduct. I mean, they are on vacation.
Greatest lover and a dancing machine. I get loud, I get proud, and it gets worse.
And welcome back to 2A Radio. Hey, gang, we were talking during a break about something George in Texas had said. Sometimes a handgun or some type of particular weapon may not be the most appropriate for that person. And one thing that comes to mind for me would be an issue of training, because there is a big dedication of training if you're going to be using or carrying a particular weapon. And I said, you know, Bill, some people may become more comfortable carrying a canister of OC gas instead of a handgun. The training is much less intensive to be able to use it effectively. And when you spray somebody, what you're really giving yourself the chance to do is build time and distance between you and that adversary.
Matter of fact, Ed, I agree, but that's the only thing you're going to give to him. Carry OC is fine, but you need to realize a couple of things. First of all, you can get the stream, the fog, or the foam. All right. It seems as though the stream, you got to be more accurate to get them in their eyes. And if you're not accurate off the bat, people can block that stream pretty easily. If you get the fog, that's great, but look out for any wind. And if you get the foam, that stuff doesn't have much distance. The best I have ever come across was a foam that there was so much pressure in it, it actually offered a bit of recoil. But keep in mind, you are whatever you use, chances are you're going to feel at least some of those effects. Plus, a good 15% of the population is unaffected by OC spray.
That may be true, but I'm a particular proponent of the stream by DefTech, having been the person who got my agency and provided all the training to my agency when we switched over to OC many years ago, in a whole different lifetime when I was driving Holsteins and being Johnny Do-Right. But OC is not the perfect mousetrap, but it's a better choice than being a victim. And to me, the foam is kind of gimmicky, and I've seen it. It has the problem with some of the fogs. And that you have to look at is the OC product, what's the carrier? If it's denatured alcohol, you have to worry. Hopefully you're not a smoker. Early on, two cops in New York City light a guy up with two cans of OC gas that were where the carrier was denatured alcohol. And when that didn't work, they tased him. Unfortunately, the taser set the guy on fire because he was covered in alcohol, which apparently was bad.
But, now, okay, what are our, quickly, we got about a minute left here. What are our other options? Not a gun. Okay, we have OC spray. What else do we have? Well, we got a stun gun?
Stun gun means you have to be in
contact
interpersonal range
contact
with the bad
position,
guy. Right? And that's a bad, I mean, you've already lost to some degree if you're within interpersonal range of that guy.
What about a knife?
Not
yeah,
a chance.
That's ugly and bloody and a lot more training than a gun. What about a taser?
You and I both know that if you carry a knife, you have to expect to get cut. And a taser, not readily, the high-quality units are not readily available to the public in most places. Although, given a bad guy arriving a buffalo, may be something he's done before, but certainly respects.
So what's the answer, folks? The answer is a gun! All right. Well, we've covered it. We've covered it. I don't know what else to do. Carry a cell phone. The mayor of Milwaukee says so. All right. You know what that music means, Ed. We're coming down to the end of the show. Folks, tune in tomorrow. On Thursday, we'll be coming back at you and let you know how the whole thing with the Midway went and how it went shooting today. Stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks a bunch.
See ya.
Thanks for joining us. Bill and Ed will be back tomorrow. Please email your comments to bill@2aradio.com. Unreal, guys. Unreal.